Welcome to the Abundant Life Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Rick Kiley. For more information about Abundant Life Church, please visit www.abundantlifechurch.org.
Matthew 16, we're going to read 15 through 19. Jesus said unto them, "Who do you say that I am?" Verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, both the Son of God and the Son of Man." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Verse 18. "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," the revelation that you have just had, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Verse 19. "And I will give unto thee, one person, the keys to the kingdom of heaven." Can you imagine that? The Savior saying to Peter, "I'm going to give one man the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And because of the revelation that you've just had, I'm going to give them to you. And whatsoever you will bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Could you receive a greater gift than that? Could you receive a higher praise than what Peter just received from his Lord? But then if you read just a few verses later in verse 21, "From that time forth, Jesus began to show himself to his disciples, and how he must return unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him," actually it says it took him "aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, that this will ever, I will never let this happen to you." And then verse 23, "But he turned and he said to Peter, Get me behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense Wow. Just a few verses. The greatest compliment, the greatest award that can be given. And because of pride, because of Peter's strength and confidence in himself, he rebukes the Lord. And the Lord has to rebuke him. "You savoreth not the things of God, but the things of men." And today I'm going to preach to you on this subject, overcoming self-disappointment. Overcoming self-disappointment. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Sister Bauer. I want to mention a couple of things to you that are important. You may not be aware of this, but on April 28th, which will be Tuesday of this week, the Supreme Court will hear arguments for and against redefining marriage in America. The very institution of God's design for marriage as only between one man and one woman is on trial. As hard as it is to believe, 9 people will decide if our nation will honor God and obey Him or turn its back on the most fundamental building block of society and on God Himself. What are we going to do about it? Well, we don't have a vote. Yes, we do. We do have a vote. We have an appeal court. We have a supreme court over the supreme court. And if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. We can pray. We can intercede. We can talk to God, and God can send people to talk to them. Do you believe that? If God can send people to talk to Nebuchadnezzar, if he can send angels to give dreams and even nightmares, can not God do the same thing today that he's done in yesterday's? Is he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? So please remember to pray and intercede. April 28th is a very, very important day. Then also, Wednesday night of this week, my wife and I will be showing some pictures and sharing some of the things we learned in Israel to you as a congregation on Wednesday night. We're putting that together and we'll have it ready for Wednesday night. You'll also notice that there's a Jewish type crusade going on this week in Mequon. The information is all in the back. And we've received word that there are still 20 tickets. If you'd like to attend a banquet on Friday night, they're like $20 a piece. But all that information is in the back, and you will have to act quickly if you want to be able to be a part of that, okay? But please remember the importance of the power of prayer. And then I want to share something with you because of your, I'm not one for publicizing my private life, but many of you have found out that I have been sick. And I'll just give you a real brief explanation and show you how great our God is. On April 1st, I should have known better. On April 1st, I was having a crown put in. And they had to do some deep drilling, and there was a possibility that I could have got an infection. That happened on April 1st. And then they were going to, on Tuesday of this past week, they were going to put the permanent on it. And they're expensive. They're like $1,000. And it was painful, but I got it behind me. But last Sunday morning, I woke up, and it was like somebody had hit me right under the jaw. I don't know if you noticed the steam I had last Sunday, but I did my best. And when I got home, I had a racquetball in my neck. It just, oh, puffed out, and I had a lot of pain. So I went to I knew nobody would help me on Sunday, so I went to the doctor on Monday, and the doctor said, "Man, you got a real serious abscess there. This is more than I can handle." He said, "So I have to send you for a surgery. They're going to do a root canal on you. And it's going to be rough, and it's going to be expensive." And I thought, oh, no. You know, and then he said, "But I have some good news. I have a golden ticket." And I said, "What is a golden ticket?" And he pulled it out. And he said, "A long time ago, these doctors that I'm sending you to gave me one ticket. And that ticket is for a free root canal." And when my wife went with me to get the root canal done, she overheard conversation on the phone. Somebody else was calling for one. $1,400 for a root canal with these doctors. So that was a $1,400 savings. And here's another good thing. So keep paying your tithes, folks. God will take care of you in miraculous ways. Who would have ever guessed that you could go to a dentist and get a golden ticket? But I got one. And then I looked in hindsight, and I came to realize that if they'd have put my crown on Tuesday and I'd have got the infection after that, then I'd lose the crown too. Now we can still save the crown. Everybody needs to save their crown. So when you hug me today, I didn't say any of that so that you'd feel sorry for me. I said that so that you will understand that God still works in miraculous ways. His timing is perfect. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't need root canals. But to the end, we shall endure. Becky Schlayer, where's Becky Schlayer? You are up. I remember what you said to me on a Wednesday night about Brother Mackey. Do you remember? Do you need a microphone? Hey, it's my time, so I'll just preach shorter, that's all.
Okay, when Brother Mackey was here, I wanted to give him a special offering because our love offerings is what he has to live off of, and I'm like, I just want to give extra to him and bless him. Well, Pastor called for the offering, and so I put that amount in the plate, and then thinking that was going to go towards Brother Mackey. But after he said we're going to give a special love offering towards Brother Mackey, I'm like, oh, man, I got to give that again now. So... And it's a miracle I remembered to do it at the end because he put the baskets up afterwards. So I went and put that amount in again. I felt really good about it, though. It's something I wanted to do. Well, later on that week, on Wednesday, we make a lot of hay up north, to make a long story short. And I sold a whole bunch of it a couple years ago to some horse people, and they still owed a remaining balance to me, and I kind of thought, well, I'm never going to get paid for that again. I've called them a couple times on it, and I just gave that up. So that Wednesday, my mom texted me. She said, guess what? We got that check in the mail, and that amount was 10 times the amount that I gave on Sunday. So thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Isn't God good? Just be faithful to God. God will be faithful to you. Amen. Now let's go back to Peter today. And Sister Unz, you did an incredible job on my message for today. And I'm so sorry that I'm not using it. I know you understand because I've done this to you on numerous occasions. But I woke up this morning, and I've already had three messages today. One that God gave me during devotion, and two when Brother Brown was speaking today. And he did an incredible job in our adult class. Just a great job. And I just cannot get away from this. I don't know who you are that came in here today maybe thinking you weren't going to come and you changed your mind and did come. But this is probably for you. After Peter receives his greatest accolade from Jesus, he is rebuked and even referred to as Satan. Satan working through Peter. How disappointing that must have been for him. How embarrassing it is to be rebuked by your master in front of your peers. The character of Peter is one that is strong. He's a confident man, but at times, he's a very foolish man. He does make mistakes. He's willing to try. He'll ask questions that other people are thinking, but they wouldn't risk their reputation on asking that kind of a question. Peter will. Peter will take chances. How about when he sees Jesus walking on the water? And he says, hey, Jesus, tell me that I can come and walk on the water with you. Nobody else said they wanted to go. He was the only one. And he did. And Jesus said, okay, come on. And he's the only other man in all of history that has ever walked on the water. Because he was willing to take chances. Now you can remember the rest of the story, and you can remember that the wind blew and the waves got higher, and he put his eyes on them instead of Jesus, and he began to drown, and Jesus reached in and grabbed him out and saved him. You can remember that part if you want. But I choose to remember that somebody had enough faith that if Jesus said he could walk on the water, he could walk on the water. And he did. Or how about the Peter that we know that is going to the garden with the disciples? And Jesus says, well, we'll take a few of you a little further. He was in that core of, although there were 12 disciples, he was in that core of four, that elite, that special forces, that green beret of the disciples. And Jesus said, you come with me just a little bit further and you stay right here, and I'm going to go about a stone's throw away, and I want you to pray with me for 1 hour. Oh, it would be an honor, Jesus. We're just so glad to be one of your disciples. We know what you're going through, and we feel bad for you, and we don't understand it. But we're here for you. You just tell us what you need. And Jesus said, thank you, and walked the stone's throw away and began to pray, only to come back and find they'd fallen asleep. You couldn't watch with me even 1 hour? And they were rebuked again because they fell asleep during the hour of prayer. I pray that the 21st century church, the April 26th, 2015 church, is not asleep when Jesus needs us most. I pray that our prayer life is increasing rather than diminishing. By the way, I'm reminding you, next Sunday morning at 9:15, we're having a prayer meeting here. The sanctuary will be a house of prayer. I hope you'll be here instead of sleeping in your bed. Or how about the time that they came for Jesus? Judas kissed him. They only had two swords, you know. Peter had one of them. Remember, Peter, he was the strong one. He was the one that said, nobody's going to get to you, Jesus. And when they came for him, he drew the sword. And Malchus, he took a swing at Malchus and knocked off his ear. He wasn't aiming for his ear. He was aiming for his head. He only got his ear. Jesus, once again, Peter thinks he's Jesus' bodyguard. I'm the protector. Oh, if you only knew who he was. If you only knew the power of his words. Just one word could bring 1,000 angels if that's what he wanted. Just the word. Remember when they came to the garden? People miss this. All these soldiers, I mean, they brought way more than enough soldiers to take one man. But they were so afraid of him that they brought a large group. And they said, we're looking for Jesus. And Jesus says, I am he. And they all fall down. Everybody. Just by the fact that he blows on them and says, I'm he, and they're on the ground. I mean, if that would have happened to me as a soldier, I'd get up and run. Anybody that's got that kind of power that can speak and knock people down, don't mess with them. But Peter thinks that he's stronger than Jesus, and he's got to defend his friend out of loyalty. And so he knocks off the ear of Malchus. Jesus walks over and says, you know what, boys? You made a big mistake coming here today. That's not what he did. He bent down and he picked up the ear and he wiped it off, cleaned it up, and slapped it back on Malchus's head, and it worked. Again, I'm out of here, boys. I'm not messing with a guy that picks up ears off the ground, puts them back on, and they work. Are you? Do you not see what's happening here? They didn't get it. And then he rebukes Peter for knocking Malchus's ear off. Again, another rebuke. Man, I got to tell you, if I'm Peter, I'm hanging my head several times in embarrassment for the things I'd said or the conduct, you know. And what did he say before when they were at the table? He said, you know, Jesus, they're never going to get you. I'm going to see to it. I'm going to protect you. And Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. No way, Jesus. Really? You're going to tell the Lord he doesn't know what he's talking about? So they capture him and they take him away. And this little girl says to him, you read it in your bread today, by the way. Hey, you look like you're one of his disciples. No, I'm not. I'm not one of his disciples. A little while later, man recognizes him and says, aren't you a Galilean? Yeah, I'm a Galilean. He said, weren't you with Jesus? Nope, I don't know the man. A little while later, another person comes right out and says, I know, I recognize you. You were with him. And he begins to curse and even swear. I don't know the man. And when he says it the third time, the cock crows. Read it. Let's take a look at it. Luke chapter 22. I know not what you say, and immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. Next verse. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. At the third time, their eyes met. How do you feel now, Peter? And he wept bitterly. I am so disappointed in myself. Peter, don't you know you're going to be the disciple to the Jews and Paul to the Gentiles? They're even going to name candy bars after you. Peter, Paul, Almond Joy. You're going to be famous. I don't feel very famous right now. I feel like a failure. Now watch this. I know I'm not screaming and running, but I'm saying stuff that's going to help you today. Judas betrayed the Lord and then felt convicted about it afterward and betrayed him with a kiss. Be careful about people that get too sweet on you. Betrays him with a kiss. Then realizes he's done wrong. Takes all that he gained from the transaction. Back to the priest and says, I don't want this money. I've done the wrong thing. I give it to you. He throws it at him. And he goes out. And he hangs himself. Why? Because he was so disappointed in himself for what he had done. He had the same 3.5 years of training that Peter had. And yes, this sin is terrible. But he refused to repent. He only felt sorry for himself. He was only disappointed with his actions. And it led him to suicide. Peter has done the same thing in one regard. He's denied the Lord three times. All the disciples, it says, when he was captured, forsook him and fled. All disciples failed. Is there anybody in this room who has not failed Christ? Because I would like to meet you and find out how you do it. We've all failed. We've all made mistakes. We all have disappointments in ourselves. How could I do that? How could I say that? That's not what I normally do. But we fail, and we're disappointed. I'm just going to bare my soul to you today to try and help you. People fail you, and you can be disappointed in them. Can I get an amen to that? They fail you. They betray you. They don't live up to your expectations. You've given them more than they've given you. They've hurt you. And you know that you have to forgive them. But that's only level one. And then, if you're going to be honest, I know you're not going to say amen to this. I'm probably not going to get one amen, but you're all going to think about it. God has disappointed you because he didn't do what you told him specifically to do and when you told him to do it. You gave him a deadline and he didn't come through on your schedule and you're disappointed in God. But you don't dare say that to anybody else. Because you know the scripture, his ways are above our ways, his thoughts. You know all that, so you don't say it. But you're disappointed. You think that the thought didn't enter my mind? Well, why do I have to go through this thing in my throat? Or why do I have to go through cancer? Give cancer to somebody else. God doesn't give cancer to anybody. God doesn't punish anybody with sickness. Quit blaming it on God. Some things are just life. The difference is that we've got somebody to go through it with us. We've got somebody that can do something about it or can give us the grace that we need until we get the miracle that we want. And you want to write that down. The grace that you need until you get the miracle that you want. We're all going to die. But then we're going to live free from what killed us, free from sorrow, free from grief. But we're disappointed. So we've got people that we're disappointed in. We've got God that we're disappointed in because we are so short-sighted. Last week I talked to you about suffering from memory loss. We have at times forgotten where God brought us from, the things that God has done in our life. We forget. But the obstacle that I want to overcome today is the obstacle of disappointment in myself. I know that I have to forgive others, and I've said that I have. And I guess I look back and, God was right. I'm glad he didn't answer the prayer the way that I thought he should have. And he did come through in time, and so I guess I have to forgive him. But we still got one more person to forgive. We got to forgive ourselves. Because if you're not happy with yourself, it's real hard to be happy with anybody else. And if you can't deal with the faults that you have, you're more than willing to deal with the faults of others. Because you don't want to deal with your stuff. You want to deal with their stuff. Let me point out your fault. Let me tell you what your problem is. Let me tell you where you messed up. Your fingers are always going like this. They're like pistols. You're shooting holes in everybody. Why are you doing that? Because you're not happy with you. What is shooting holes in other people? What good is that? You didn't create them. You can't heal them. You can't save them. So why are you dealing with them that way? Because I'm unhappy with me. Because I'm a disappointment to God, to my parents, to my friends. I'm a disappointment to me. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying today? And you're so upset. And you're in constant turmoil. And you internalize it initially, and then you externalize it later. And you're so unhappy. Your peace and your joy, you say, where are they? They're being stolen through disappointment. You think Peter wasn't disappointed in himself? And here's my point. We've got two disciples that have made huge mistakes. One of them goes out and hangs himself for his own disappointment. He's not blaming anybody else. He's not blaming Jesus. He's not blaming the other disciples. He's blaming himself for what is about to happen to Jesus. His disappointment is exclusively in himself. He hangs himself. Then we've got another disciple who's made many, many, many failures in his life. But the guy just keeps on going. You know what the difference between a winner and a loser is? A winner gets up one more time. I'll be up again, just you wait and see. Tough times won't bring me down. They'll just send me to my knees. And there while I'm in prayer, are you hearing what I'm saying today? You just got to get back up again. If you got something you got to confess to God and confess to yourself and get rid of from your life, the disappointment in you, then that's what you need to do. Stop making excuses for it. Stop making comparisons to other people. This man gets up and brags about being married for 42 years. He should. I'm glad. But what about people in this congregation that have been through divorces? You don't hear them getting up and bragging about their divorce. But they've got hurt toward the one that they were married to. They've got hurt toward God. God couldn't save their marriage. They've got hurt toward themselves. The last person we want to look at is the one we should look at first. What have I done to bring this situation to where it is? I remember one time, I learned this early as a Christian. I was just starting to come to church and I was evaluating. You know, Jesus said that a man that goes to war should count the cost first. Or if a man's going to build a house, he should determine whether or not he's got enough to finish, right? And I remember this like yesterday. I'm standing in a mirror, and I'm looking at myself in the mirror getting ready for church, and I'm thinking about my messed up condition. I had always been blaming other people for it. But at this particular moment, while I'm looking in the mirror, God takes advantage of a mirror and says, you're now looking at your problem. That's what he said. You're now looking at your problem. And he was right. I had created these things. My anger, my pride. Do I need to go on? I feel like I'm wearing very little clothing here today. And when I realized it and started tearing up, I looked at the same guy in the mirror and I said these words, "You're fired." And Jesus, "You're hired. We need a Lord. We need a Lord in our lives." And all of this self-disappointment, we need to get rid of that. I could tell you stories, but one of the things that you will learn as you mature in the ministry is you got to know when to talk and you got to know when to shut up. And it is time for me to shut up. Please stand. What are you saying, Brother Kylie? Let me paraphrase at least part of this message for you. The disappointment that you have in yourself needs to be dealt with right here today. Right here and right now. God knew you were going to be here today. There's vacations, there's sickness, there's any number of reasons for you not to be here today. But you are here today. And you're here for this reason. To deal with your own disappointment and your own forgiveness of yourself. Now, before you can forgive yourself, you need to repent. You need to look in the mirror like Rick Kylie did and say, "Hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm not saying other people don't have faults. I'm not saying other people haven't contributed to the situation that you're in. You can't control that. And you can't fix that. But you know what you can control? Yourself. You can control what you say. You can control how you act. You can control what you do. And you're the only one that can. So you get to make that choice today. Am I going to come to the altar and tell God what he already knows and now what I know about myself? And then after I repent and make him Lord, am I going to forgive myself? Because Lord knows I've already asked him 100 times about these things to forgive me. And he has. But I'm the one that needs to forgive myself this morning. And learn from my mistakes. And be a better man, a better woman, and a better child of God. Jesus, help me to man up today. And acknowledge my wrong, my faults, my failures, my sins before you and you alone.
Thank you for listening to this Abundant Life Church podcast. We pray it has strengthened your relationship with God and will continue to be a light unto your pathway to heaven. If you have any questions or comments regarding this podcast, please telephone our ministerial team at 262-965-5177 or email us at info@abundantlifechurch.org.